Blog Talk Radio.
In the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living, should I blast myself? I'm proud of being poor and even worse, I'm black, my stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a negro, pull a trigger, kill him, he's a hero. Get it to the kids who the hell cares, one less hungry mouth on the welfare. First trick him, don't let him deal a brother, give him guns, step back, watch him kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said, two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brother, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how I was supposed to be. How can it never take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Disgrace the racist, we under, I wonder what it takes to make this one better place, let's erase the waste. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. It's both black and white, it's both tonight. And the only time we chill is when we kill each other. It takes guilt to be real time to heal each other. And although it seems evident, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret, don't conceal the fact. The penitentiary stack and it's filled with black. But some things will never change. Try to show another way, but staying in the dope game. Now tell me what's a mother to do. Being real don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made a G today,
but you made it in a sleazy way. Selling back to the kid,
I gotta get paid.
But hey, well, that's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Come on,
come on. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
Never be the same. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
We gotta make a change. It's time for us as a people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat. Let's change the way we live, and let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime I ain't have to do. But now I'm back with the back, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and pimp back you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell the cops they can't touch this. I don't trust this. When they try to rush, I bust this. That's down number two. You say it ain't cool. My mama didn't raise no fool. And as long as I stay black, I gotta stay strapped. And I never get to lay back, cause I always gotta worry about the payback. Some buck that I roughed up way back, coming back after all these years. Right, that.
That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
That's
just the way it is. Oh
yeah.
You're my brother, you're my sister. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Something will never change.
Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up. Reward, Nigeria.
them televised fables on cable. I'm a runaway slave watching the North Star. Shackles on my forearms, running with a gun in my palm. I'm an African, never was an African American. Blacker than black, I take it back to my origin. Same skin, hated by the Klansmen. Big nose and lips, big hips and butt dancing. Raw. I'm an African, I'm an African. And I know what's happening. I'm an African, I'm an African. And I know what's happening. You an African, you an African. Do you know what's happening? I'm an African, I'm an African. And I know what's happening. Mad crack of rapping. Peter Tosh tried to tell us what happened. He was saying if you black, then you African. So they had to kill him and make him a villain, cause he was teaching the children. I feel him. Dunn was trying to drop us a real gem. That's why we bucking holes in the ceiling when we hearing
I'm an African. I'm an African. And I know what's happening. I'm an African. I'm an African. And I know what's happening. You an African. You an African. Do you know what's happening? I'm an African.
Recognition and respect as human beings much faster than you and I. Just 10 years ago on the African continent, our people were colonized. They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of Asian. And in a short time, they have gained more independence, more recognition, more respect as human beings than you and I have. And you and I live in a country which is supposed to be the citadel of education, freedom, justice, democracy, and all of those other pretty sounding words. We want freedom by any means necessary. We want justice by any means necessary. We want equality by any means necessary. We don't feel that in 1964, living in a country that is supposedly based upon freedom, and supposedly the leader of the free world, we don't think that we should have to sit around and wait for some segregationist congressmen and senators and a president from Texas in Washington, D.C. to make up their mind that our people are due now some degree of civil rights. No, we want it now or we don't think anybody should.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, and sworn like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed, this that I got realness. I just kill shit cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch, your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitched, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish.
the front. Shit I been through probably offend you. This is Parler's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead, redemption, scholars, fathers, dead with kids, and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert, and excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the fuck you hurt? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff gonna plead this case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth and the prophecy. I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
This is why I say that hip hop has done more damage to young African Americans than racism in recent years.
I live about my DNA. This is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power, the mecca emeritus. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation, your DNA an abomination. This how it is when you in the matrix, out your bullets, reaping what you're sowing, stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar, sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building, diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floor, speeches out the window, peeking out the window, baby in the pool, Godfather goes, only Lord knows. I've been going hammer, dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras, eat it for a daughter's rock, wearing sandals, yoga on a Monday, stretches in the planner, watching all the snakes. Curving all the fakes, phone never on, I don't camera stakes, I don't compromise, I just penetrate, sex, money, murder, these are the breaks, these are the times, level number 9, look up in the sky, tennis on the way, tennis on the way, tennis on the way, motherfucker, I got winners on the way, you ain't shit without a buddy on your belt, you ain't shit without a ticket on your plate, you ain't sick enough to put it on yourself, you ain't rich enough to hit the ladder skate, tell me when destruction gonna be my fate, gonna be a fate, gonna be a fate, peace to the world, let it rotate, sex, money, murder, I do.
Tupac Shakur is a child of the 60s. Tupac Shakur, born out of the spirit of the revolution of the 60s. Tupac Shakur, fire in his bones. Huh? Boldness and rebellion in his blood. Born from his beautiful, bold Black Panther mama, Afeni, sitting in the jail cell, a revolutionary woman carrying the fruit of life, mocking the child in her womb, mocking the child with rebellion, mocking the child with insurrection, mocking the child with a spirit to not go along with what's been going on. When you got a generation like that, you've got to work with them. You've got to mold them and shape them and fashion them
to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his policy.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage. Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
So-and-so and a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
You can't fool all the people all of the time, but if you fool the right one, then the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying? Cause Uncle Sam got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they doing when they up in the stars. Because I don't believe a word of what the president said. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us. There's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the goose is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley got me cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed Huey because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda.
Yeah. I don't want no computer chips in my arm. I don't want to die by a nuclear bomb. I said we all rush the Pentagon, pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God out of ignorance and fear. If God made man, then why the hell would he put us here? I thought he supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-ass leadership, flipping position. They turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen is telling lies to your vision. Every channel got some brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedier? The big corporations, the pigs or the media? Sign of the times, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown, who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found. It's not coincidence. It's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe all Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, propaganda. I don't believe all Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed Huey because you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, motherfucking propaganda.
Better than most groups understand the system. And with this realization, we attempted to form a strong political base based in the community with the only strength that we have, and that's the strength of a potentially destructive force if we don't get freedom.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. I hope pearly white teeth fall out of the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. black cultural centers will be forced supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes, Jew merchants will give away matzo balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Shippen will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes, afros are going to be trying to straighten their heads, and straightened heads are going to be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes, but until then, you know and I know niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit.
Liberation of oppressed people in the United States has to do not with climbing up some ladder to success, not for asking to be just like Rockefeller or just like DuPont or just like Ford, because that would only continue the oppression and exploitation of oppressed people in the United States, and specifically African people born and raised in the United States. Socialism is an integral part of building social justice on this planet. The condition of my people, my history, was very much connected with other oppressed people, and I began to see that they're the same foot that was on the necks of the Vietnamese people, that was on the necks of all oppressed people on the planet, was the same foot that was on my neck. And so I began to understand that imperialism has to go. It is a poison that is killing people all over this world. The priorities of this planet have to be completely changed. And instead of profits, instead of policies that destroy the earth, that destroy the water, that destroy human beings, I believe a policy that protects people, that makes people live in a community, a world community, that's what I believe. That's my basic political commitment.
Talk about capitalism. Who are the capitalists? As if we understand that there are only a few people who own and control the means of production in the society, then we begin to understand that there are a few capitalists. And these capitalists exploit everybody because everybody works for them. Everybody sells their labor to them. It is by selling your labor to a capitalist that he's really able to exploit you. Instead of going through theories, let me give some direct example. Let's say that I'm a capitalist. And let's say that I sell shirts. I have a shirt factory. Let's say this is my factory. I own it. The machinery. I have a place where I get cotton. Now, I own it. I'm the capitalist. Let's say you are my workers. You don't know me. You never see me. You see my lackeys, you know, maybe my foreman, but you never see me. Now, let's say it costs me 50 cents for cotton for every shirt I make. And let's say it costs me 50 cents for upkeep of my machinery. That's a dollar. And let's suppose I pay you a dollar for every shirt you make. That means it costs me $2 to get a shirt, labor included, your labor. I pay you for making the shirt. Now, when I sell the shirt, being a capitalist, and you must know something about capitalism, very important, the sole motivating force, in a capitalist society is profit. Profit. That is the sole motivating force. Profit. Get money. Get it. Get it as fast as you can. Get it any way you can, but get it. Just get it. And even in, you know, in the African community, it affects us here in this country, because Africans, those of us living in America, those of us born in America, we are imbued with the philosophy of capitalism, and sometimes we don't even recognize it. Thus, you find brothers and sisters even selling dope to their brothers and sisters to make money. Again, because we're imbued with the philosophy of get some money. Ain't nothing wrong to kill for money. Hell, your country is napalming for money. You can certainly kill for some money. All right, just get it. It's the overall philosophy. When we talk about revolution, we must talk about changing values. We must talk about changing values, and we must understand these values. To the shirt factory. I've not forgotten. I'm just going to tie it in. I'll tie it in for you. I'll tie it in. You will see, you must look under the shirt factory, too. You must look for spiraling economy. That's very important, spiraling economy. I sell the shirt for $5. I sell the shirt for $5. I don't do anything. You're the one who makes the shirt. I'm exploiting your labor. You toil, you sweat, I get the fruit. That's right, I get it. But you grow it, you plant it by the sweat of your brow. I get it. I sell the shirt for $5. I am exploiting your labor. I really am exploiting your labor. I mean, even when you want a shirt, hey, you got to come to my store and buy the shirt for $5. Hey, I really am exploiting you. Now, you're workers, you're in a factory, so you begin to get social consciousness. Yes, you do. Marx talks about this. Because you're working together, you see the socialized process, the laboring process, and you're able to see...
Black power, black nation. You're tuned into Indecent to the People, weekly Tuesday night radio broadcast, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, People's Political Party, National Chair, Nat Turner, co-host, myself, Brother Motherland, National Minister of Defense, and our National Minister of Communication on the ones and twos, Sister Amina. Calling each and every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time at 845-277-9266. Press 1 to participate. Tonight's topic, Donald Trump, the scapegoat. We're going to take and open up our lines to our national chair, Nat Turner, Black Power, Uhuru, comrade, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, brother, right on, Black Power. All power to
the people.
That's right, right on. Those who listen, I want to welcome y'all. No, we're not CNN. We're not Fox, MSNBC, you know, media, corporate control media, where millions and millions of people could watch. But however, we don't let that discourage us. Where there's a will, there's a way. And eventually, David took down Goliath, you know, and this is where we're headed. And we like to, you know, use certain like things to try to paint vivid pictures, portraits, so people can really, really understand and see, and particularly, specifically, black people or people of African descent, even those who refer to themselves as indigenous, whether name, label, expression, the state won't jump over you to get to those who call themselves black. And the state definitely won't jump over those who call themselves black to get to those who refer to themselves as indigenous and what have you. What they see is, people who have heavy, heavy contents of melanin in their skin makeup. And they have a vested interest in maintaining white power, white rule, white archy, white patriarchal rule. Patriarchy is just no more, no less than a term for male, man. In particularly the so-called white man and his rule and dominance under this system to keep the structure intact regardless of terminologies that we use as a people. Of course, we've gone from one terminology to the next, and some of us have even tried to go back and find out our indigenous terms and names that we refer to ourselves. Some believe it is the word more, which can be spelled numerous ways. Those of us who become conscious of that, we're familiar with a historical people referred to as the Moors, and that is spelled M-O-O-R, S plural, how the Moors conquered Europe, Western Europe or Spain, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. in the word more having this understanding for dark people in these languages. And it's been spelled many different ways. But I say all that to say this. Collectively, we have been miseducated. And there comes a time that at some point in history, that group will experience someone who rises among them and can really bring over where we at, why the conditions, and see into these things and put us on a much more realistic path. Whether you want to use the word right, we as a political party believe in being on the right side of history. There are those who think they're on the right side of history, but have yet to land on the right side of history due to some misunderstandings, some miscalculations, even some misfires. And we don't say that out of arrogance or to belittle any other group or persons or what have you. It takes a certain type of mind or a certain type of thing like Michael Jordan possessed when he was playing basketball. You know, some folks would refer to him as a freak of nature. Now, I don't know how that can be or what a freak of nature is. Maybe in you know, these mortal terms or the mortal world or what have you. But tonight's show, Donald Trump, the scapegoat. We feel that it's necessary to give our people some understanding of this Donald Trump stuff. It's been dominating the news. In other words, the corporate control media has been projecting Donald Trump onto the masses of the people in this country, the different sets and populations, what have you, the different so-called races, and, of course, the different classes of people. And when you constantly bombard an individual's brain with something, his brain usually or tends to take on some type of warped thinking, or his mind, his brain tends to become what we can say socialized, engineered, you know, his thought pattern. And so we can tend to grasp hold of it, and it becomes a norm, the usual. You know, just like, you know, we've all been through the phase or stages of Santa Claus, you know, the Easter Bunny, you know, the Easter egg hunt, even though rabbits don't lay eggs, or am I mistaken? But this Trump thing is basically a method of psychological war to convince the American people that they have somehow managed to save their democracy by corralling Trump, by handcuffing Trump. And I don't mean that literally. In the scripture where it speaks about loose or Satan or the devil, what have you, something about where he was chained down or something, pegged down, arrested. You know, his development was arrested, his gain, his, you know, his, in other words. And this is how Trump can be seen. When you take black people into consideration, what does that mean for black people? You know, some black people could care less. But there's a, you know, a huge sector of population, whatever, at some point it affects all of us in indirect ways. We don't understand sometimes. We don't imagine. We don't realize. For instance, these spikes in hate crimes, since the rise of Donald Trump. And we can look at it in many ways, so we're going to try to take our time and try to, go over or through some things that feel is pertinent. His campaign run and this as a strategy where they use to keep people quiet, had dealings with him, to prevent them from going public. And there's this whore named Stormy Daniels and his dealings with her personally, and I'm quite sure there are many others. This really doesn't faze me, there are some who have led perfect lives but haven't changed anything. We've been put in position to change shit and didn't change nothing, didn't change a thing. And even you can look at some instances, with Mayor Washington, I think in Washington, D.C. a long time ago. Okay, so the man smoked crack, but he was actually doing for the black people in D.C. And that's really what all people cared about. That's the only thing that concerned them. They were more preoccupied with living in terrible conditions than being preoccupied with smoking crack. And this is a fact because he actually overcame it. He actually overcame it and was reelected. So he defeated those forces. But Trump is just on the largest scale. All these, this indictment, arraignment, the Trump Organization being, indicted or what have you, convicted of financial fraud, beginning with back in 2020 or 2018 up to, to the press, 15-year scheme to defraud the state, the so-called government, bank and insurance fraud. Of course, he's a Republican, and so obviously the Republicans are no good. That they are, this right-wing conservative or ultra-right-wing conservative. In other words, it's like moderate right-winger and extreme right-winger. We can put it another way where black people have been traumatized by the white sheep, and the burning of a cross. And so they don't really have to worry about that no more today. Now is the politician with the slick back hair and the suit with the briefcase with the stroke of a pen. And so which one is more dangerous? It would appear to me that the one with the slick back hair, the suit and the briefcase is more dangerous. Whereas Trump is representing a specific sector of America, white America, skillful craft, tactics, and strategies that he used to get himself elected. It's a number of things. And it's actually funny, but try to explain it in such a way, you see what I'm talking about. But he embraced this Made in America thing, make America great again. And the so-called poor whites, the white struggling rural farmers or white rural families, in between Trump and the white nationalist movement, or Trump and the rebel flag, rebel car carrying redneck in these rural pockets of America. And Trump sees the opportunity to focus on Made in America. And you say Made in America, then that very skillful would challenge others who had exported jobs, you know, to other places around the world, seeking for sources of cheap labor. And that is what capitalism is. Spend less, save more, and at the same time profit more. And so the outsourcing the jobs, and apparently it would appear that Trump used that as a strategy to get in office. And when you look at it, it's rather a Hegelian, this Hegelian tactic, and it worked. And so when you look at it, you would say, well, you know, we need jobs, and our jobs are being squandered overseas. And this is how Trump was able to become effective. And a lot of whites in these rural, like I said, towns, what have you, these majority white states where the black population is under 10%, you know, 2%, 3%, you know, black. And that is how he was able to do it. And so in the meantime, the Democrats were handcuffed with that, and they had to turn back themselves. And this is no strategy that is unique to Trump. It's just that they take turns in doing it. Anybody who's been voting, let's say, at least 30 years, 40 years even, so you've seen at least 10 presidents go by, or at least, is that right? Yeah, 10, 20, 30, 40. Okay, participated in 10 elections, you know, every 4 years. And what I haven't realized, or taking a good look, a deep look at the let's say the, I'm going to say this for right now, Wall Street, you know, the chart, you know, where they show you the ups and downs and highs and lows and whatnot, and, you know, the comparative analysis, you won't see any change, you know. So Trump, on one end does that, and then he shows who he really truly is. He clearly demonstrated, you know, that, yeah, you know, I have a problem with 9 whites, you know, but at the same time, skillfully, according to him, he's done more for black people than any other president in the history of the presidency, even more than Obama. I've yet to hear anybody refute that on both sides, black or white, the black petty bourgeoisie, the white liberal, you know, Democrat, you know, the neoliberalism that is fading, is losing ground, you know. What you see is not a coincidence. Of course, the next election, some would like to say selection, is approaching. And so there's this thing where, you know, people are wondering about Biden. It was said, right, matter of fact, wasn't too long after he was inaugurated or whatever, sworn in, that, you know, he was done. You know, that he's going to have a replacement, as though somebody have a crystal ball, you know. And some say it would be Kamala Harris. And, of course, to make history in the whole process, both of them, Trump and Biden, have exploited the black bourgeoisie, the Negro bourgeoisie. And know, we'd be very precise and clearly on these terms to make distinctions. Some of these terms could even be maybe offensive to some of us, or certain of us who live in certain brackets of living, what have you. But it's not personal; it's a fact. You know, this is a political arrangement, this is a political entanglements that we find ourselves in only in blackface. The whites have been struggling in their class antagonisms for several hundred years. As a matter of fact, we can go all the way back to the so-called after the American Revolution, the class struggle with the planter class, you know, the gentry class of which George Washington and crew belonged to, Alexander Hamilton, you know, those who fomented the revolution, you know, who orchestrated the writing of the Constitution. They put the Constitution in such a way where it can safeguard their holdings, their assets. You know, this thing that you see, if you turn your television on, MSNBC, there's this, you know, you get, you know, the so-called power hour, or understand, the Wall Street gang. We know more than a cartel, a gang, a mob, a cabal, you know what I'm saying? And they had been into the same business. You know, they had shares in these companies and stocks. And when they wrote that Constitution, they didn't write the Constitution with the masses of people really truly in mind. It was on the superficial. And I know that may seem hard to believe some people, but take a look at it, you know, and get back with us, you know. It's clear. And it was a class structure, class issue. And the reason why we know it was a class issue is because they had these rebellions, you know, Bacon's rebellion, you know, different rebellions, where they were dissatisfied because they hadn't gotten what they were promised in this liberation struggle. So all the way up to the day. And I say that because it's a steady line. And, you know, to exploit those who have been under their rule of thumb. And so they both resort to the same strategy, the same tactic, which makes Trump no different from Biden, or Biden no different from Trump. As a matter of fact, they can make history. You know what I'm saying? They can make history. Biden skillfully weaved his campaign together and handed out concessions. And there are those who in our midst who have served as their own clique, you know, and we'll probably won't ever be able to say this enough. You know what I'm saying? But you know, he fulfilled their agreement. And so you know, he chose now you turn the sign on that says black, you know, a black running mate. Not only was it a black running mate, it was a female. So he's making history all over the place. These were concessions that were handed out. And then the installment of a new Supreme Court justice, the double whammy for the Republicans. And not only did he skillfully choose another woman of color, a black woman, and there's no coincidence that she was a dark-skinned black woman with an African name. And we take these things for granted. We think it's a coincidence. You know, it's a coincidence. No, literally. And this goes to show how some of us could be so smart, so intelligent, when it comes to planning a party, you know, an extravaganza. But yet we go stuck on stupid when it comes to understanding other things outside of that. But it is what it is. But however, and this is, man, this is like telling you, mine is a terrible thing to waste. You know we, as children, we come up with told those types of things. But, you know, we don't have to get too, the Republicans don't have to get too alarmed over that selection. I mean, after all, her husband is white. You know, so it's a compromise in a sense. In their minds and their subconscious, it's still white male patriarchal rule over her, due to the fact that her husband is white. You know, and you look at Trump's portfolio, and you look at Biden's portfolio, if you can remember, when Trump was in office, all these things about these connections with Putin, who is back, you know, Russia is back from what had happened to them. But this whole thing about you know, this technological infiltration and these foreign forces that were instrumental in Trump win, and these relationship with Trump and Putin as though they were business buddies. And the media sees the time, and without the people realizing that it was sheer entertainment, because the people is playing checkers, and they're playing chess. And not only they're playing chess, they're playing chess by the philosophy of one Machiavelli. You know, the strategist who had told the prince during this time and taught him and showed him ways on how to keep his holdings intact, how to keep the people under control, how to keep the people at bay. You know, just like, you know, someone trains a dog, you know, he's a puppy, you know, he's a dog, and, you know, he constantly pets the puppy on the head every time the puppy do what he says, do he give the puppy a little snack or something. It's the same old thing with the whale, until the whale fooled around and got his own mind and wind up killing one of the scuba divers or the divers that be in the pool with them, you know. And these are types of things that tend to take place from time to time. But no sooner Trump gets in, Biden gets in office, what do we see? You know, who's leaking these stories? Who's putting these stories out into the air? Who's putting these stories, you know, up in the air? Next thing you know, it's Hunter Biden and Putin. You know, and it's amazing. It's an amazing display. If the American people hadn't gotten it by now, then to take really extreme drastic measures. Speaking personally, one thing I've learned in this country, in this world, in this environment that I live in, is that it's easy to dumb down the population. It's not hard. It's not difficult anymore, as though it's never been in the first place. But it's rather easy to bend the American population in the way that you would have them bend, you know, due to certain factors and stuff. But their portfolio is no different than the other, you know. But due to the George Floyd rebellion, or due to the rebellion that was bound to happen at some point, which unfortunately occurred at the lynching, the high-tech lynching. And as we refer to it as a high-tech lynching of George Floyd and the blowback from that. And that frightened white America in particularly. It frightened the structure of the state to a certain degree. And what we mean by that, fighting the state to a certain degree, is that, and we said this, you know, previously, if fighting the structure to the point where the consciousness in it, you know, had come to a point where it seeped out of the prescribed boundaries of these rebellions, you know, on the part of quote unquote the niggas. Dr. Dre wrote an album, put together an album called The Chronic. And one of the songs on The Chronic is called The Day the Niggas Took Over. And that is in reference to, you know, the Rodney King Rebellion. And so you actual live, real interviews from the people from the streets, and where he sampled in the beginning of the song, you know, some of these things, or in between the songs, you know, on this album. So this George Floyd thing sent shockwaves throughout the state. And so you have Donald Trump and, you know, this pain and, you know, this imagery now all of a sudden of fascism. You know, the tactics, the maneuvers that he used, the symbolic expression, you know, by leaving out of, I believe, the White House, where there's the chapel next to where he had to, you know, they cleared this way, you know, and all these liberals, you know, they were seizing the time and all these people, even these talking heads, these Negro talking heads. And so they turned it into this imagery of fascism. Totalitarianism, these terms they use, you know, to describe that we've been using to describe foreign governments for decades. In other words, they're only fascist and totalitarianism when they don't align themselves with the capitalist mode of production. Any government or system, whatever, that doesn't align itself with the capitalist mode of production will be referred to as fascism, totalitarianism, authoritarianism, you know what I'm saying, and whatnot. And that's funny because there's even been, you know, democratically elected presidents who have tried to follow the so-called capitalist mode of production or the model, or at least the models of what they refer to as democracy, and the state still overthrew them, overthrew some of them. You know what I'm saying? It was a complete contradiction. You know, and the world has to understand that. But as a result of that, you see this deterioration politically, economically, socially, and it's been in the making. You know, the writing's on the wall, and so this fear, this anxiety, this paranoia, this worrisome thing, this grim reaper sort of like style, like thing that's lurking around the corner, you know, the people become stirred up due to the high tech lynching of a black man, of another black man, you know. And then of course, you know, you take the, you know, the so-called good whites into consideration. And there may be two, three types of those. And some of those two, three types of maybe the extreme whites, who will be, you know, those who will get out there and, you know, try to burn shit down and whatnot. You know, got the, you know, the anarchist types, you know, a deadly mix. And so what did they have to do to sort of re-image itself? They needed a scapegoat, you know. So what better way to blame Donald Trump and throw everything on Donald Trump's shoulders and put everything on Donald Trump as though this shit just started with him, you know, like it just started in 2016. Like it wasn't around in 2015. It wasn't around in 2012. That it wasn't around in 2008. That it wasn't around in 2004 and so forth. And we're going to connect the dots. And we're going to link these things together, you know. What better way to recast the state as a democracy than by convincing the people that we got to get rid of Donald Trump, or we lose our democracy. I've watched CNN from time to time. You know, it's all, you know, you know just like they do us. You know, they listen to our radio show to get a dose of what we're saying, and so we have to listen to their shit and get a dose of what they're saying. You know, the propaganda that they spew every day on these corporate controlled so-called news stations. And so long before Trump, even on CNN, the lady anchor, even herself, has said that, we to the point where she talked about we have democracy that is going down the drain, you know, and out of her own admission, when she somehow miraculously was able to come out of her little bubble that she lives in and take a look at reality, and was compelled enough to say that on a national news network, you know. But this didn't start with Donald Trump. This didn't start with Donald Trump. Now we can take, you know, three groups, and each group can say when it started for them. It started for African people the minute that they snatched us from the continent, from the womb, by the violence of force and brought here. And in the midst of that, you know, we began to develop such things as schizophrenia, you know, and now we've been diagnosed as bipolar, you know what I'm saying, whatnot. You know, before this bipolar was a Dr. Jekyll and Hyde thing, you know what I'm saying? And so with us, it began there. The so-called Native Americans can say that it began before that, you know, with Columbus. You know, when he landed in the territory region that is now known as the Caribbean, and they renamed it as Hispaniola. And this is why the people that you see now speak Spanish, they refer to them as Hispanics. You know, but there's no Hispanic race. There's a Hispanic culture and a Spanish language was derived from Spain, the conquistadors, the conquerors. That's why they called them the Hispanics. So the native people could say it started with them and how when they came here and began to burn their archives, began to destroy their religious symbols and replace it with the Christian ideal, with a Bible in one hand and a sword in the other hand. And so they can say for them, that's when it began for them. The poor whites can say it began for them the minute that in the process of under being under the King of England, the British Crown, you know, the holders, the stakeholders. And so their troubles here or extended over ocean where you are made to understand from one particular angle that they were running from the oppression in Western Europe or the oppression of the trying to achieve the separation of the church and state, and so they ended up here and then being a colony and then under King George and then so forth, George Washington and their great feat. But the class struggle never really went anywhere. It just changed geographies. And so the poor whites, these same poor whites, are descendants of those whites. It's those same whites that Donald Trump exploited due to the labor market, job market, the American economy, and these things that go into these things referred to as the GDP, the gross domestic product, and whatnot, the gross national product. These terms are how you do these mathematical equations to try to come up with these numbers and stuff. Or like recently they say, oh, things have cooled down. The labor market has, you know, cooled down. Or you know, in other words, what they mean is that it receded. So 360,000 jobs were added. But no one ever seeks to go into these 360,000 jobs and find out what they actually are, what they actually were, or what they actually worth to those 360,000 people that have been hired. But you can use that as a mathematical equation to beguile the people into thinking that, you know, as before, America has always recovered from her crises and whatnot, you know, and they try to point out this historic accomplishments and, you know, the Great Depression and shit like that. But no one ever talks about how it's orchestrated, how it's playing, you know, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, you know, the type of rules that's being ran on the masses of the people by a handful of people, regardless of being Democrats or Republicans. Let's be clear on something. The only difference between the Democrats and the Republicans is that the Democrats are more snakish than the Republicans. The Democrats are more clandestine in their operation than the Republicans are. The Republicans don't care who think what about them. You turn on Newsmax, and and this dude likes to refer to himself as a minority. See, he plays his game. He's a white, pale-skinned man that can pass for white and Hispanic. So he jumps in and out of this minority thing. When he starts talking about nine whites, then He don't think he being racist because he belongs to that group of nine whites. You understand what I'm saying? And he's clearly letting you know right out of the gate. I'm speaking as a white man, as a pale-skinned white. In other words, when the white population wants to inflate its numbers, its population number, a huge sector of the so-called Hispanics can sign on as white, which would inflate the white male population in this country. You see, and this is the type of strategies that they resort to every now and again. You see, but it's as clear as night is from day. This is why black people are disdain Republicans so much, because Republicans, they're not afraid to say what's on their minds. You know, Donald Trump was never afraid to say what's on his mind. He's the CEO, the chief of that. Look, I'm the chief executive officer. What I say goes. And if you fool with me, I'm gonna pull out my dogs. You know, I'm gonna get my dogs to check you. You know. In the meantime, he said, okay, well, look, we got to build a wall around this shit because we got all these aliens coming in, and they're threatening our way of life. And this is where the Latino population, you know, / Hispanics began to go hostile and want to get out there and protest too. When he starts talking about how, you know, letting them in, crime rates go up and whatnot. And then, you know, they use that to strike fear in rural white women, whether they were Democrats or Republicans. And this is the type of strategy that Trump used. Now, when I'm going to tell you else who used the same strategy, and you, some of y'all are going to be shocked. Some of y'all are going to be shocked. Like I said, it's not personal. This is historic. This is factual. I can't make this shit up. Okay, but there's a tactic he used, the fear of crime or the fear of the growth, the escalation in crime. Just yesterday, Whole Foods in San Francisco closed its doors. They closed their doors because they knew they weren't sure that they could keep their staff safe, their employees safe, in this particular area that was supposed to be redeveloped. You know, but the poor class people showed them different, right? So the same tactic that all presidents use is shit. Some of them use it to perfection. And I'm going to point out who in a flash, in a few tips. But this is what he did. And so a lot of the white women who were Democrat crossed over to be Republicans. And this increased his numbers. This is why some of these states, they call them swing states. You don't know which way the shit going to swing, which way the pendulum going to swing, left or right. And you tell me what distinction can you make here. You see, the only basic difference is that the Republicans don't give you that liberal shit. They tell you straight up what time it is. This is why they call conservatives. The Republicans are only liberal when it comes to militarization. Okay? They're liberal when it comes to protecting white male rule, when it comes to the private sector, spending money and doing all these things. They're very liberal. But when it comes to niggas, they're conservatives. Now, if you jump over and see what the liberals who are supposed to be, they're conservative at doing what? See, this is the, you know, the game that's being played here. You know, the strategies that they use. You know, liberalism. Liberalism is what? Liberalism is say, okay, look, we're gonna put a huge band-aid on this gaping wound, so much so that you might not even be telling it's still bleeding. In the meantime, we'll distract your attention away from it by giving you concessions. This is why when Obama won, who was the Hell's Angels, one of these, you know, white, you know, right-wing motorbike clubs, you know, they made it clear. They went and got T-shirts made. Everyone got T-shirts made. And on the T-shirts, it says what? It's still called the White House, nigga. It was very clear. It made no bones about it. It made no bones about it, period. You know, so the taking of Donald Trump to us as a scapegoat is to win the fate of black people particularly their faith back into a broken system. In the meantime, these whites are having this struggle, you know, these gullible whites. And there are a lot of gullible whites. There are whites who is as dumb as a brick. You can be easily swayed. There's those whites who have to prove themselves that they're not like Donald Trump, that they're not like David Duke, that they're not like the rebel flag waving redneck in the truck. So in order to prove themselves, they had to vote for Obama and wear Black Lives Matter t-shirts under Trump. But has the structure changed? Has black people's lives actually changed in real time? So seeing the wheels coming off and the George Floyd thing, well, we need a scapegoat so we can put everything on this scapegoat, on this goat. And as the Bible says, the story, when the Israelites did the ritual of the scapegoat, they got the goat, and they did these things almost like exorcisms, and everything that was bad, everything that was negative, they had cleansed themselves like you cleanse yourself when you take a bath, and everything that was the goat was used for. So everything that was they was trying to get rid of, you know, they believed that they could make those things appear in the goat. And then when it was time, they smacked the goat on the ass and, you know, beat the goat off into the woods to get rid of their evil and their sins. And this is what this is. Now, all these things that Donald Trump have been accused of and his Trump organization, all the different shit, it's no different than what the Democrats have been doing from time to time. They just swap sides every now and again. You know, they need somebody, especially the so-called justice system, the judicial system. Malcolm X used to go and sit in on some of these judicial hearings. People didn't even know this part about Malcolm X. This elder who would roll with Malcolm X, he had said this. And he said, we would go in there, and we would sit in there, and Malcolm would sit in there, and he would just watch the proceeds. And he said he came out of there one day, and he said he looked at him with a look that he'd never seen before. And it kind of worried them. And he told them, he says, whoever controls the judicial system is going to run this country. This will explain to you why when Donald Trump's opportunity to, you know, put somebody on the Supreme Court, he chose somebody of his own clique, of his own clan. It's like a blood choosing a blood. It's like a crip choosing a crip. It's like a GD choosing a GD. It's like a vice lord choosing a vice lord. You have to be out of your mind to think that a Nazi going to choose a Jew, a Jew going to choose a Nazi. But a black man going to choose a white man. And the white man will choose a black man in order to keep him in his position. It's a fact. It's well to make this up. And what we're saying, this not even new. We're just trying to keep it alive. We're just trying to keep that fire, you know, lit. You know, sometimes it might look like it's flickering out. And this is what our struggle is. This is our reality. This is our reality. This is our everyday reality. Our reality ain't in the Hamptons. No, it ain't Martha's Vineyard. Our reality is out in these mean streets, you know, in the so-called urban areas, urban environments, you know. And so with Trump there, he made it plain and simple. We keep the structure intact. The structure ain't going nowhere. Our founding father will make America great again. And you have some black people who actually believe that. You know, some of them consciously knowing that is bullshit. You know, so I asked, well, when was America ever great for black people? Was it Jackie Robinson? You know, the closest we can get, to my understanding, and I may be missing something else. Somebody else may be able to chime in or add something. But I could think about the Black Wall Street in Tulsa. But what happened to that? You know, what happened to that? So to take Donald Trump and all these things that he's done, he's a rainbow, whatever, stuff like that, not gifted. You know, no different than the rest of them. You know, tax fraud, this thing they call dark money. There's a book trying to think of her name, a white Jewish woman. She writes these books, and I'm kind of leery of her, but she writes these books as though she's trying to expose the white ruling class, the white elites who can get away with things that nobody else can, banks too big to fail. How could you have a bank too big to fail if they're committing fraud? If they're embezzlement, how can they be too big to fail? You know, and I'm quite sure all of those weren't Republicans when they was doing the shit. You see what I'm saying? So how could they be too big to fail? So what they're trying to accuse them of is no different than what they've been doing. So obviously he's been used as a scapegoat to convince the American people to win their faith back in a broken system. You know what I'm saying? Particularly the black people. And so you replace Donald Trump with who? We've saved our democracy. They saved their democracy with Joe Biden. And so in the meantime, they're accusing Joe Biden of being soft on crime. And so they're really going to accuse him of being soft on crime now because of these last two so-called mass shootings. And their battle over gun control, their battle over banning the AR-15. Even Biden knows that that's bullshit. He knows that it's bullshit. You know, this country was founded on the gun. You think those old white men would start banning weapons, would start, you have to be out of your mind. It is as utopian as it can get. And these young dudes and this one white woman, In Tennessee, it is so amazing sometimes to see, this type of shit occur, this type of shit to take place. You know, the young dude with the afro, he kind of remind me of Malcolm X. I ain't gonna lie. He got those glasses, and he kind of got this Malcolm X thing, and I listened to him talk. He's brilliant. Even him. What did he say? He said white supremacy and white male and patriarchy. That's what he said. He said white supremacy and patriarchy. Now, it's funny how he says white supremacy and patriarchy because patriarchy is actually anti-woman. Patriarchy historically has been kicking women in the ass. And we know, in European history, white women have been going through it, period, straight up. They've been going through that shit. But there would be no need for Susie B. Anthony and all these other white women who come up and, Matilda and all these people, Gage, ending up being a real militant, And so it's rather ironic that the young man would talk about patriarchy as the problem, but yet him and his other buddy, they're males, they're men. But somehow they could not get included in patriarchy, and the white woman was the one who was supposed to get it if it was patriarchy. But she didn't get it, and as obvious is why she didn't get it. She didn't get it because she was white. So they let them two know, yeah, you're right, this is patriarchy, but nigga, don't forget you black. She's white. We will pick her before we pick you, even though we've been dragging her by the hair. That's historic. As a fact. And the people can't be made to understand that we get nowhere. Everybody gets off. Like Stokely Carmichael says in one of his speeches. For the lack of understanding. For the lack of a proper understanding. Therefore, the lack of a proper political education that elevates the people's consciousness. Where they stop becoming fools or being made fools of. So you enter Joe Biden, and whoa, we've saved our democracy. And in the process, here, I'm handing you two gifts to cool you out. And this is his story. Before this Trump-Biden thing, you had who? You had Obama, right? You had Obama. So who was before Obama? It was George Bush. And they said the same thing that they're saying about Trump now. They just said about George Bush. Trump had holdings, Bush had holdings. As a matter of fact, Bush is more powerful than Trump could ever be. Now, there are some who actually point out how Trump even established the hidden hand. And what is the hidden hand? And by the way, that's a book that was also written, too, by some dude named Epperson years ago, where he points out the Hegelian strategy, you know, left, right, you know. But yeah, the same portfolio. And they were saying the same shit. Our democracy is turning to hell. We've got to get Bush out of here. He's destroying our democracy. And what better way to do it, you know, to get black people to win their faith back in it again? What more better way could you do it? Not by just putting a Democrat in there, but somebody who's black. You know, somebody whose father is from Africa, Kenya. You know? And then the Republic is going to attack. Well, what's his real legal last name? What is his real? Barry Satoru, you know, his dad is an Indian. You know, I mean, there's a whole lot of shit going on. You know, but what better way to cool black people out to get them, pull them back into it than to get somebody in there that looks like them? And they were saying the same shit about dumbass George Bush Jr., who was a drunkard at Yale, you know, and all of those shit there. Some people even wonder how the hell he even got in there. Yeah, he got in because his father and his grandfather, Prescott Bush, who, by the way, was Hitler's banker. On one day they're telling you that they're going over there as allies to free, you know, Europe, you know, to take down this megalomaniac to save the Jews, you know, from the evil Axis powers, the Japanese, the Italians, and the Germans, you know. In the meantime, Ford, Rockefeller, and all these people, you know, was supplying the German war machine. You know, the Rockefellers, you know, had a monopoly on oil like shit, you know, gas and stuff. This thing called tetraethylene, tetraethylene is a necessary component that has to be used in order to be able to fly jets, you know, aircraft. And so who was supplying the tetraethylene to the German aircraft? It was the Rockefellers. You know, through subsidiaries. You know? Through subsidiaries. You know, people back in the 80s, you know, now Hugo Boss was a big time, you know, men's fashion. You know, it was big time men's fashion. And I don't know if it's still whatever it is, but Hugo Boss, you look at the shit Hitler was wearing, the trench coats, it was being supplied by Hugo Boss. Fashion. You know what I'm saying? Like real talk. You know, the Ford Motor Company. You know, making, you know, supplying the, you know, the, you know, make sure that they were able to roll around in those Jeeps. And this is incredible. And just point these things out so you can really understand how this shit works. You know what I'm saying? Like really understand how it really carries out. The Hegelian strategy, Hegelian tactic. You know. And so you have the Bushes in there, and what are they doing? They're doing the same shit that, you know, is no different. They start calling George Bush racist. You know, we're destroying our democracy. You know, I mean, you know, Cheney and Ashcroft and all these people, how they orchestrated the whole 9/11 thing. You know, what did the Democrats do? They didn't do nothing. They do nothing. It's okay, well, we got to get him out of here. We got to save our democracy. So they raised up Obama off of a farm. It is what it is. You become the most powerful man, quote unquote, in the world, the number one man. You're the chief executive officer of the United Snakes Corporation. And again, we say these terms, certain terms, on purpose because we believe that they're a bunch of snakes who work in an orchestrated manner as a state. What is a state? The politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police. in a concerted effort to keep white male patriarchal rule intact. You know? And I need them as a white woman, and I need the white woman as a black woman. I need the black woman as a black man. And that's trouble. That's trouble. That's trouble. That is trouble. So they was able to get in there. And it runs deep. It runs deep. And some of these people, yeah, man, you know, yeah, they talk that shit, but not just that about Obama. He said, well, look, let's look at Obama's cabinet, his cabinet members who he chose. You know, we're going to let the cat out of the bag. And some of these whites, they went on an attack. I mean, they went on the attack. It was like, yeah, he chose these people who come out of the most powerful bankers cartel, Goldman Sachs. You know, shit, you know, different than the man that Bushnell had as the head of the Fed. You know? You got Bernanke and all these people. Now it's Lawrence Summers. You know? What did they do? Did they skip a beat? No, they didn't skip no beat. It skipped no beat, period. The Fed and the whole shit, it stayed intact. Everything, high interest rates, everything stayed intact. Stayed intact. The crisis has stayed intact. The 2008 crisis. Under whose watch did that take place? Under whose watch did it take place? And people were comparing that shit with the crash in the 1920s. But they forget about this other one way back, like I think the 1830s or something. They forget about that one. And if you look at the graph, they'll show you clearly no difference, period, at all. So all these white men who stole all that money, all of them should have been in prison. All of them should have been in prison. Who was the CEO on that watch? It was Obama. He didn't arrest now one of them, period. All. And even some, there's a white boy, Jeremy Scahill, I give it to him. He's exposed a whole lot of shit about the war in Iraq. And these mercenary companies is making money and kill campaigns and assassination campaigns, all types of shit called Blackwater.
Guru Trevor?
Yeah, what we got, comrade?
Not only did he not arrest any of them, he made it to where the government bailed each and every one of them out. But then turned back around and say he couldn't just be the president just for black people. Contradiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And you're right, man, right on, Conrad. Man, right on. Damn, two heads better than one. Right on. That's right on the money there. That's right on the money. You know, and again, it's this Hegelian-like type thing, you know. And he understand it. You know, look, he was way smarter than all of them. He was way smarter. Look, in terms of, what's that word? Like being real, like keen, like, you know, a keen person, cunning, like, he was smarter than all of them. Wife smarter than all of them. As, I mean, dumbass George Bush, a vice president, who was couldn't spell potato right, you know. And so, I mean, like, you know, as clear as night is from day, but he was very skillful. He was very skillful. You know, he was very skillful and charismatic, and it worked to the establishment's advantage. You know what I'm saying? And so what's the difference? We know nobody was going to go to the jail on the Republican because they, like I said, the conservatives. They ain't trying to hear all this shit. Look, that's my homeboy. I'm letting you know. Look, how it go? Like, I'm an alpha. You know how they do it? Like the fraternities, the world. You know they got the whatever. You know that's my brother. That's my dog. You know, I mean, of course it is. Why would I expect anything different? If you expect anything different, something's wrong with you. Ain't nothing wrong with them. Something's wrong with you. What it is about you taking the power, overthrowing them, unseating them. That's what it's about, unseating them. That's what this shit is about. But there's Bush and Obama. Look, I'll give you an example. I'll give you another one. Okay, you had McCain, Republican, you had Hillary Clinton, Obama, Democrats, right? Now, they're supposed to be public knowledge and public record. They're supposed to have all these old codes and shit, you know, in place about Democratic, Republican, whatever, presidential campaign contributions and whatnot and all this kind of stuff, right? They come up with these checks and balances and all this type of shit to prevent, you know, all this money and whoever, all this old shit. But anyway, they find ways to get around this thing called stacking shit. In other words, if I had $100,000 I wanted to give to them, I'd just find 10 people and just give them $10,000 apiece, and I'd keep the other 10. I'd give 10. Then they go and give the same $10,000, you know, to the same person that I gave it to. So they found ways around the shit. But what I'm saying is, I got a hold of a paper. And I'm like, man, I'm about to look this shit up too. I want to see too. So lo and behold, what do I see? Clinton, Obama, McCain being funded by the same bank. Not only is it a bank, but it's a bank in another country. The Deutsche Bank, a German bank. Right? Now, I tried to show one of the members of the Boule this paper one time. He didn't want to have it. He didn't want to have it. He didn't even want to look at the paper. He didn't want to look at the paper. And this was the president of Xavier University, Norman Francis. I think they changed the name, I think, of Jeff Davis to Norman Francis or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. You know? I mean, like, you know, We believe in taking the gloves off, unless we'll be complicit too, you know, right? So what gives? How are you going to lose? How you going to lose? How you going to lose? And not only them, but some other corporations and corporate entities. They were all funding the same individuals. So if I vote, I put money over here. But how can I lose? I cannot lose. You lose, but I don't lose. See, that's why it doesn't matter to them. That's why it don't matter to them. See, that's the cold part about it. The masses have no idea. And all these talking heads that they put up there, every 4 years, they always trotting somebody out there. Right? Now, either they don't do it directly or it's done indirectly because some of these niggas is on automatic pilot. And they're looking out for their class interests. You know what I'm saying? Who got Donald Trump out of office? What sector of black America was instrumental in getting Donald Trump out of office? That's the question. Now, was there some reciprocity? See, some people, yeah, Donald Trump looked out for, you know, like he says, I ain't heard nobody refute him yet. You know, I've been looking out for some, maybe not enough. You know what I'm saying? But how can they lose? So see, that's the whole thing. So Larry Summers, Bernanke, the white man before him. I mean, the mob. You know, there's no relationship between the United States government and the Fed, besides the Fed being its own entity, its own corporation, and they own shit. They sell the Treasury every bank note. People don't even know that. They don't understand how it even work. You know? So how could they lose? It has to be up to the people, period. I don't give a shit what they say. You can only go so far. You can only take it so far. Look, man, people getting their ass knocked off, not just physically, economically, politically. These land grabs and black people being subjected to all around the country. You know what I'm saying? And so before Bush and Obama, who do you have? You have George Bush Sr., right? And the whole Kuwait thing, the whole fiasco was over oil. Did the Democrats not benefit from that? Did they not benefit from Kuwait? You talk about George Bush like a dog during the election time. during the campaign time. But did they not benefit from the Kuwait thing? Did they not benefit from it? Go look at their portfolio. Take a look at it. So who did they have before that? You know, and give us Bill Clinton. We got to get him out of office. We got to get him out of office. The same shit. Look, when Barbara Bush died, there was a sister that was on the faculty of one of these universities. Or she was a Latina woman. But one of them, she was a nine, she was a woman of color. And when she died, this faculty member was like, hooray, thank God. Cause she gave birth to a terrorist. And she said she's not backtracking her remarks anyway whatsoever. So they insert Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton ran the Machiavellian strategy tactic. One of the pranks that Machiavelli was teaching the prince was this. He would say, from time to time, you must celebrate with your subjects. You must celebrate with the citizens. That's under your rule. Celebrate with them. Partake in festivals with them and celebrations with them. Clap and dance with them. And I can think about nobody but Clinton. When he went on his black churches tour, I could think nobody but him. You know what I'm saying? He's a Democrat. He was so cool with black people. He was such a Democrat. He was so cool that this is what he did for black people. A lot of people don't know this. He was so cool with black people. As a matter of fact, OutKast, the rap duo from Atlanta, right? I'm one of the coldest duos in hip-hop history, right? They even was bitten by the bug. But anyway, on their record, on their album, what they refer to, you know, weed as, you know, chronic. You know, Dre them say chronic. You know, other people say ganja. You know, young people now say gas, whatever, right? So they call it Billy Clinton. You know, they thought he was so cool that he deserved a place in hip hop. You ever smoked weed before? Oh yeah, in my college days, whatnot, whatever the shit is. So you know they on the regular calling it you know Billy Clinton, right? But he think it was so cool. He was so cool that Castro put out a mandate for people of African descent, black people. To receive a free education in Cuba, provided that they study medicine, right? Medicine. And that also stipulation too, that once they achieve their goal coming to Cuba and studying medicine for free, that they would take what they learned and went back and help the people in their communities and what they call underprivileged, or under whatever all these terminologies that they use under this. And they got some new shit. They got some new shit now that they use. I can't quite remember what it is, but it's some new shit they use now. And Bill Clinton was so cool, right, that he vetoed that shit. He vetoed it. That never made the news like talking about. It never made the news like on that day of. It never made the news during that week when they show you the murders in Chicago that night, or the murders in New Orleans that night, or the murders in Atlanta that night on Cleveland Avenue. You know, they ain't tell you about they showed you the murders in South Central, you know, that night, that day, that week. But how many of us knew that and we thought Bill Clinton was so cool? You know, Bill Clinton, whose brother, to my understanding, had a nose like a vacuum cleaner. For those who don't understand what I mean by that, he was a cokehead. And when he was governing Arkansas, little old airstrip, that's where they would drop the dope. Men of Arkansas. Military knew about it. The CIA knew. Everybody knew about it. Everybody knew about it. Nobody went to prison. About 30 people ended up dead because they could expose it. Right? Then he ended up in the White House. In the meantime, his wife came from where? Socialist leanings. This is why the Republicans went after her when she tried to run for president. because they knew a history. They knew a past. You know, she'd embraced socialism, even the Black Panther Party, to a certain extent. You know, so the Republicans, when the Democrats, you know, what they do? What are they charging Biden with now? What are they charging the Democrats with now? They're charging them with destroying their democracy. That's what they're doing. The Democrats just got through charging the Republicans of that shit under Trump, destroying our democracy. So who's right here? Who's right? What are the American people supposed to believe? Who is supposed to believe, the Democrats or the Republicans? The Democrats charged Donald Trump and the Republicans of destroying their democracy. The Republicans right now are accusing Biden and his group of destroying their democracy, accusing them of socialism. Elizabeth Warren, you know, these socialist leanings. So who's right? Who's right? Which way black people supposed to really be going? Shit, at one point, it was the Republicans who was courting us. Because the Dixiecrats, the Democrats, you know, straight rebel flag. So help me understand here. Help me understand the shit. Help me understand. My mind is like, okay, well, how you going to explain this to a 17-year-old in high school? Let alone somebody that's 21 about to graduate from college, a 15-year-old. How do we explain that? It's looking like ain't but one way out. It's looking like, you know, you put people backs up against the wall, well, it's one way in, one way out. It's just that when it was coming in, they didn't know it was just one way in, one way out. They got deep up. They got deep back into the building and realized, oh shit, we got to go out the front. And you get up in the front, you see the shit staring you right in the face. But now you don't want to go out the door. That's what it's like. That's what it is. Black people, particularly black and brown people, on a larger scale, and the so-called poor whites. And there are a lot of poor whites who are just as racist as the white ruling class, even though they have class issues. I mean, it can really be confusing. These wires can get so tangled up, you can't even, you know, you're so confused, you know. So you go back to, you know, the Bush and Clinton, you know, the same shit. You see the same stuff. Clinton vetoed shit. He was writing shit out. Look, they come up with these new laws, these new draconian acts, for crime and all this type of stuff, you know. Now, back to this thing about using crime as a tool, as a mechanism to win white suburban women's votes, right? Obama perfected it. He perfected it. Michelle, what her name is? Let's see. Alexander got a book called The New Jim Crow, right? In this book, she points out the strategic continual strategy of corralling black men. If you don't send them to the grave, send them to the concentration camps. Send them to the concentration camps. But she speaks about that same thing, you know. And she goes into it. He perfected it. And here's the thing. The other thing that he was able to use in the midst of that, and then he tried to, like I said, it's Hegelian. It's some straight Hegelian shit. And like I said, it may be shocking to some, you know, some black people. Look, everybody got their favorites. And I understand the shit. You know, some of us got parents old enough thought they'd never see a black president, and so they finally on their bucket list, you know, before they pass into the other realm. You know what I'm saying? They would have loved to see the black president, and that goes to show you the magnitude of the terrorism that they've been through. They've been so messed up. They've been so terrorized, so traumatized by white supremacy, white terrorism, the Eurocentric view of the world, Eurocentrism, the dominant view of the world that has to be seen through white eyes, through blinkers, but not your own. And you can't relate to your own self, so you can't relate to your experience, then that means you're vulnerable to somebody else's shit. That's why we don't, there's no class where I'm here to go speak Swahili right now. You got Spanish class, you got French, and I believe German. You know what I'm saying? Ain't none of us from there. You know, let alone, you know, we got some of these individuals talking about, I ain't from Africa either. You know, but that's another thing. You know? But this has been such a orchestrated manner. And the same thing, you know, the same, you see the same shit. You know, or they jumping off, boom, or they, you know, it's them. And then they get the people, you know, to go in and rev them up, all the rhetoric and whatnot, and boom, they introduce you to Bill Clinton, right? They introduce you to Bill Clinton. Okay, now, who did Bill Clinton, look, he went on, you know, he's going around one time, he's letting the cat out the bag, because you know the American people, the average person in this country don't understand the shit he's saying. When he started hurling names at, right? So in one of his conversations or whatever, or he's trying to, you know, get the people to know him and his background, how he come up, all this old shit, he come right out and tell all, he said, well, yeah, well, you know, when I was at Georgetown, I had a mentor, a professor, an instructor, a teacher. And you know, he was very instrumental in how you know, my mind got shaped, you know, and the people they had no idea, you know, what he was saying. You know, they had no idea what he was saying. You know, he was trying to let the people know know what he was coming from, you know? And you know, the people couldn't even get it, you know? And so he names his individual, you know, Carol Quigley. And this same man hung out with the same people who selected Obama. The same man, Carol Quigley. And he wrote a book called The Anglo-American Establishment. And he literally tells you who run this shit. He literally tells you that there's no such thing as Democrats and Republicans. That's only for the birds. That's only for the masses. That's only to entertain the masses of the people. In the movie Shooter, Mark Wahlberg plays his ex former sniper. He was over there in Afghanistan, whatnot. He come back and all this kind of shit. They was up to some shit, and they set him up for attempted assassination on the president, whatnot, and all this kind of stuff. He wind up getting revenge. You know, Ned Beatty plays the old folk and still get politician, and he end up on the mountain, you know, meeting the exchange, whatever, and all this kind of shit. So get up on the mountain. And at some point after, you know, he displayed his shooting skills and whatnot. They got the little girl who he was showing some affection for, who was his spotter in Afghanistan, all this kind of shit. So the old politician, when they get to going and get to talking, what the old politician tell him? He's trying to tell him, he said, look, you know, you got good skills there, Gunny. He said, you know, you can be a valuable asset to us. He's like, you out of your mind, you think I'm gonna join you, Lord, our best. You know? And then the other dude get to talking all this shit. Saying, you know, he get to going. The old man says, listen here, boy. No such thing as Democrats and Republicans. It's the winning team. Whoever made the movie Shooter was trying right there. you was trying to inform the American people that you've been had. That you've been had. And there's those who understand, so what they do, they create the Green Party. Right? But here, Clinton literally tells you who this person is, Carol Quigley. And they let him inside, gave him access to all the files. And he wrote that book. It's a bigger book than I couldn't think of the name of. And then, to my understanding, he spent years making up, you know, apologizing and, you know, to the establishment. Because I guess they're thinking about offering it. You know? But this is Bill Clinton's instructor. Incredible. And he's like, well, look, I don't have a problem with what they're doing. I don't have a problem with how they're doing. Yeah. You know, the American people should be ruled, and they should be told what to do. And this is from Carol Quigley. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it works. You know? So you scapegoat one every time the shit starts looking threatening or looking bad. So you scapegoat one, you know? And you present somebody else to them. You know? And then it goes back. And then you do it again. You know? I mean, you can almost go back to Jimmy Carter. You know? Black people before Clinton, how black people felt about Clinton is how black people felt about Jimmy Carter. That's how they felt about him. You know? Well, go look at his track record. The same cabal that ran the Fed, the same people that ran his shit. Same people that ran George Bush Sr. shit. Same people that ran Clinton shit. Same people that ran Clinton shit. Same people that ran George Bush Jr. dumbass shit. And then the same people that ran George Bush Jr. shit ran Obama shit. And they never skipped a beat. Only on television. Only in a showcase. And so forth. So what are we saying here? What are you talking about? What are you trying to tell us? You say it's a democracy, right? And then the Black Panther Party starts saying all power to the people. First they were saying black power because they come from black people. Their blood is black. Their bloodline goes back to Africa. And they're talking about black power, black pride, black love, black self-esteem, black every goddamn thing. Black on this, black control, community in the schools and the city councils and everything else. Right? And so you say that, and you say democracy, and they tell us that the word democracy is the word supposed to mean the people. Then how come the people don't have a democracy? No, they've taken the word democracy and put their own shit on them. They put their own shit. There's a type of rules that they run. And so you can also say, like I said, you know, in the beginning, voting season come around again, and this could also be, you know, the attempt to thwart Donald Trump's return. I said that Donald Trump was going to return. That's what I said. I said he was going to return. You know. And this is what they're afraid of. And the only reason why they're afraid is because Donald Trump is overt with his shit. He's overt with it. Those old white men don't have no different ideology from him. It's just how he's doing the shit. For instance, George Soros hated George Bush. Now, who is George Soros? George Soros would be looked at as a Democrat. You know, people think he's, you know, he's on the Democrat side. He don't have a side. He don't have no side. That's bullshit. He don't have a side. George Soros is a Hegelian, straight up. He don't have a side. It's left and right. He don't have a side. Thesis, antithesis equals synthesis. That's the equation. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. Get back with us. No. Well, he hated George Bush. He hated George Bush, but George Bush and the Soros, they're the same pedigree. The only reason why he hated George Bush because George Bush was an asshole. He was doing it out in the open. He was saying some things that he shouldn't have been saying. Lest the people get stirred up, get riled up. So which one will you be bitten by, the tarantula or the scorpion? Take your pick. Take your pick. You want a loosening of the noose to where you can breathe comfortably, or do you want to sever the noose completely, which means you got to get the knife? Which one you want, black people? Which one do you want? And that goes for everybody, no exception. You either want to loosen it up the noose so you can be comfortable and breathe, or you want the noose around your neck, period. George Bush didn't want no loosening of the noose. He wanted the motherfucking shit completely from around his neck. Castro didn't want it. Ho Chi Minh didn't want it. Mao Zedong didn't want it. The FLN didn't want it in Algeria. Cabral and them didn't want it in West Africa, Cabo Verde. None of them wanted it. They wanted the noose completely from around their neck. Because oppression will kill us all. Hell, they even got some white people that would agree with what I'm saying. And they'd be like, yeah, right, somebody would call me Brother Nat. It is what it is, man. You know, like I said, we see Donald Trump as a scapegoat to get people to continue to believe in the broken system, the system that is on his last leg. You know, and the leg is barely hanging on by a few strands now. So on that note, man, you know, we're gonna end. We will be able to get through whether it was 1, 10, 100, 1,000. Well, you know what I'm saying? Or we feel that we're doing our job, what our purpose is, you know, foremost, politicize and educate our people. You know what I'm saying? So stay tuned next week for another show, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern time. In Defense of the People Radio, and we mean that in every sense of the word, brought to you by People's Political Party, National Chair, one of your hosts, Brother Nat Turner, and our co-hosts, National Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland, and our assault technician, our National Minister of Communication, Saddam Noshun. I want to know who say black power or power. We out.
Your brain. That's what the white man wants you to do. Look at you. What makes you ashamed of being black?
Number love for you.
Might even know how hard it is.
No doubt.
Being a woman, a black woman at that, in this white man's world, sometimes we overlook the fact that we can ride hard in our 50s. We don't be knowing the pain we can cause.
This white man's world.
This white man's world. I ain't saying I'm innocent at all. I'm just saying this white man's world.
It's on. All those times that I messed up, but we messed up.
Dear sister, got me twisted up in prison, I miss you. Crying, looking at my nieces and my nephews, sister. They say don't let this cruel world get you. Kind of suspicious, swearing one day you might leave me for somebody that's richer. Twist the cap off the bottom, I take a sip and see tomorrow. Gotta make it if I have to beg a bottle. Beating love letters, late night, locked down and quiet. If brothers don't receive they mail, best believe we ride. Jack Matt, staring at the walls inside this cage with it captured all my ways and bonds. In time I learned a few lessons, never fall for riches. Apologies to my true sisters, far from bitches. Help me raise my black nation, reparations to do. It's true, caught up in this world, I took advantage of you. So tell the babies how I love them, precious boys and girls, born black in this white man's world.